Good morning, everyone. My name is Naaman, last name Wei, W-E-I. This is my second time to the English congregation. I hope this is not my last time. How's everybody feel about your winter break? Is it really a break? We are in 2020. So 2020 is a special year because before 2020, in our life, we always say, okay, I look forward to 2020 because 2020 is perfect vision. So we want to achieve this perfect vision. So in 2020, we all have all kinds of different resolutions. For me, in the past years, I always want to have one thing with God. So a few years ago, I prayed to God that, Lord, I'm so analytical, I'm so logical, I have no love in my life. So I pray that, God, can you give me your love to me? God answered my prayer. From that moment on, I feel very strange that in a movie theater, nobody is crying. Then I'm the only one who cries. Then a few years later, I pray to God, say, Lord, make me more humble, because I'm in a seminary right now, and I don't want to have this pride, and it's bad. And also, I'm doing sermons in a Chinese congregation, so I don't want use my own speaking skills like a public speaker. I want whatever I say is really the outlet of your words. From that moment on, people begin to say, hey, Brother Naaman, your sermon is quite boring. Even my son and daughter, they say that, Dad, you have so much repetition. But I know God is good because he removed all my personal skills so that nobody see me as a speaker. I want everybody to see Jesus, the Redeemer. And that's the purpose of the sermon. So every new year, we have this new ambition, new resolution saying, I'm going to know more about God. Well, the most direct way to know more about God is to read Bible. Because Bible is the breath, is the word of God. So the best way to understand God is to read his words. However, it's so difficult, right? Because we all have this strong ambition in the beginning, but toward the end, we lose our momentum. Before I was called into full-time study in seminary, that was in 2017, I was a really, really serious seeker. I seek, Lord, what is your will in my life? So I consult a lot of pastors. I have this calling, but should I quit my job and go into a full-time ministry? At that time, I was working in a big corporation. But I love to go to seminary class. So I went to seminary class and listened to this pastor, and I received so much. After the class, I just couldn't wait and just grabbed his hand and said, Pastor, I've received this calling, but what am I going to do? I expect the pastor is going to encourage a young, ambitious servant like me. And I expect he will say, okay, son, I encourage you to do this and do that. You just put your heart into God. I expect that kind of answer. But he didn't. He asked me how many times. I couldn't get what he's talking about. How many times? He said, how many times have you read the Bible? There are a few moments in my life that I feel so ashamed. So I couldn't answer his question. Yes, reading Bible is a commitment. Reading Bible is how we interact with God on a routine, our daily basis. Because reading Bible will reveal Jesus in your life. Will reveal Jesus in your life. Many people feel that reading Bible is so dry. There are two ways to read the Bible. First way is read for familiarity, familiar. So There were many, many long paragraphs, so you just scan it through. So you read for familiarity. The second way, equally important, to read the Bible is read for intimacy. Among all these paragraphs, these verses, which verse is specific to me as a person, the individual person? Because reading Bible, reading God's word, will find Jesus. Therefore, in the Luke, Jesus said that everything written about me, three sections, in the law of Moses and the prophets, the second section, and the Psalms, must be fulfilled. So there are three sections in the Hebrew Bible. The last section is called the writings. So Jesus said the prophet and the Psalms. So we begin to wonder why Jesus, apparently he referred to the entire Old Testament, the entire Jewish Bible, but why he said the Psalms. Then into a deeper study, I realized that that's the third section. He referred to the writings. And the first book of the writings is Psalms, the praises. The last book of the writing is Chronicles. So the last book of the Old Testament in the Jewish, in the Hebrew Bible, is Chronicles instead of Malachi. When we read our current Bible, it's from the Greek Bible version. So the sequence is based on timing, the time from past, present, to future. But in Hebrew Bible, it's different sequence. Their sequence is Torah center, the direct revelation of God's words, the law center. Then into the prophets who receive God's word from their dreams, in their visions, and then into the writings, the third section. What I'm interested in is, what is the last words, the last sentence of the Hebrew Bible? Because I'm too lazy. I know the beginning is Genesis, but I want to jump to the conclusion. So what's the last sentence of the Hebrew Bible? The last sentence of the Hebrew Bible say, whoever is among you of all his people, may the Lord his God be with him. Let him go up. Let him go up. The ending of the Hebrew Bible set the direction of our life. Instead of going forward, we go up. We go up and look for God. We go up and search God. May the Lord of his God be with him. God be with us. God be with us. So the direction is like we as a human being, we go up to look for God. We think it is only us that is looking for God, but reality is God is looking for us because God, the Lord, is with us. The meaning of Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. The last book of the Chronicles, the last book of Hebrew Bible, the Chronicles, there are two encouragements that describe the two most important factors or important things in our life. The first thing is about your identity. You are from a royal family. The first nine chapters of Chronicles is genealogy, starting from Adam to David's descendant, all the way. That refers that you are God's children. You are from a royal descendant. You are descendants of King David, who knows God himself personally, who experienced failure, who experienced betrayal, who experienced denial, who also humbled himself before God and repented. So encouragement from the Chronicles, talking about your identity. You are not just a middle schooler, a high schooler, or adult, or successful corporate executive. You are from a royal family. That's your true identity, because you are descendants of King David through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the descendant of King David. Second thing is about love. The last book of the Bible, Hebrew Bible, remind you that you are beloved child of God. And therefore, you are faith, because you are faithful generations, therefore, you should dedicate yourself, dedicate your life to God. There are many chapters in the Chronicles describing the order of worshipers. Long chapters, all the names. Long chapters talking about how David arranged different worshipers, even talking about gatekeepers. Why is that? That means King David cares about the order, the purity of the Holy Temple. He expects every one of us be a faithful generation because we are beloved child of God. Therefore, in his words, in his final words to his son, Solomon, he said, "And you, Solomon, my son, knowing the God of your father, I cannot force you to believe in God, but I'm telling you, this is the God of your father, my son." You can tell how much King David loves his son, Solomon. You should serve him with a whole heart, not just appearance. Your mere appearance in this church is not enough, it's not adequate. It's you serve people with your heart and with a willing mind. Reason. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Because you are talking about eternal God. You are not talking about your Sunday school teacher who will pass away. You are talking about eternal God. I encounter many seekers who try to understand God. One of the most difficult questions for me is, if you say God is invisible, if you say God is eternal, how can I find God? Because God is invisible. I'm mere mortals. I'm just a physical person, body. How can I find God? Find an invisible God? Then I begin to think, what is the reason why we couldn't find this invisible God? Is it the reason that he is invisible? Or it is the reason that we never seek him? Then I realize, we seldom seek God in our daily life. That's why King David said, if you seek him, he will be found by you. The reason why you cannot experience God is because you don't seek God. It is a family matter. It's a family business. It's from King David, a loving father to his son. He talks about heart because the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought, your motive. You are so eager to serve in a church. Why is that? God will ask you. God loves your heart. Then I realize that the invisible God can be found by also invisible heart, because your heart is invisible. Your act is a reflection of your heart. But God, look at your heart. Do you have a pure motive? Do you really love him? Do you really seek him? Because God is eternal. Eternity. A forever God, an eternal God, can be found by us with short period of life on earth. It is God's mercy. How do we seek God? God revealed to King Solomon, the son of David. During the night, he revealed to King Solomon, and he said, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. How many things he mentioned? First, humble themselves. Second, pray. Third, seek my face. Fourth, turn from their wicked ways. That's the number of men. Four. Then three things happen. That's the number of God. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. There is a man portion. There is God portion. There is earth portion. There is a heaven portion. From man's perspective, first thing is humble yourself. I had the privilege to enjoy a vacation in the mountains during winter break. And we had a roommate. The roommate, his specialty is artificial intelligence, the most cutting edge technology, artificial intelligence. In the conversation, he mentioned the portion that we couldn't break through until today is what is self-consciousness. No matter how we program, we cannot program self-consciousness. A robot cannot say, wow, it's a beautiful sky. It's a wonderful sunrise. Because the moment you say that, you know the existence yourself. It is because we are the image bearer. We bear God's image. Then we know this I am. Because you know, I myself is different. And because of this I am, ourself, we can return to the real I am, God himself. Because if I drift away, I know I drifted away. I know myself. God say, don't drift away. Humble, because I will always welcome you. Come back. So humble yourself is the first thing first. Then we open our mouth and we talk to God. We pray to God. Many people say, I don't know how to pray. Reality is, when you talk to your Father, you don't need to think that much. You don't need to write a paper to talk to your Father. You need to humble yourself and talk with honesty. You need to open your heart. You need to open your heart so that there's nothing between you and Heavenly Father. We want to seek God's face. He is holy God. He is light. The moment you look full in Jesus' face, you realize that I am a sinner. The moment you really look into Jesus, the moment you consider your life seriously, because you are created by God, so the moment you look at Jesus in full of his face, you will realize I'm a sinner. Because I fall short upon God's glory. I don't reflect the fullness of his image. But Lord say, this is the way you come to find me. Four things about human. First, humble yourself. Second, pray. Third, seek God's face. And fourth, turn away your action from wicked way. And therefore, God in heaven, he will hear, he will listen. God answered our prayer. A lot of people, they keep a prayer journal. On one side is what they pray. On the other side is God's promise and his fulfillment. So God hear, and God forgive, and God heal. So I believe in one God. You see what I'm saying? I believe in one God. In here, you see the Father sitting on the throne in the heaven. He hears our prayer. In here, you see God's only begotten Son, Jesus. He forgave our sin. He paid the ransom. He paid the price of our sins. And the last thing, the work of the Holy Spirit. He healed us. He healed the land because we are on earth. That represents the entire human being. When we talk about healing, what is the most concern from God? It's not about our physical weakness. It's about our heart and mind. This happened in the Garden of Eden when God called to the man, Adam, and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden. I heard your presence, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." The moment we drift away from God, fear, shame, guilt enter into our life. Think about how many times you were onto the computer and then your parents walking, all of a sudden you have to click within a millisecond. Why? How many times? Well, such an old story. This happened in Genesis. Have you noticed that? Such an old story. It is because sin enter into our life. So what did God want to heal us? He want to heal us. I will hear the apostasy. Well, what is this in English? That means turning away, backsliding. Come to me. Go up. Don't backslide. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. When we give all our sins, all our dark secrets to the cross of Jesus, He understands all. He paid your sin. You don't need to hide from God. You don't need to hide from light. You don't need to hide from life. Maybe your parents will never understand you. That's the number one feedback I received. Maybe your friends, they are temporary. That's the sadness I experienced. Maybe you are lonely. But do you know, in Jesus Christ, there is no loneliness. God is with us. The worst case, there are two people, you and Jesus. That's the worst case. You can give everything to God. You can open yourself to Him. This is what He expected. Because in Jesus' eye, what do you see? What do you see in this picture? It's a sheep. What is the condition of the sheep? Kind of dirty, sick, wounded, alone. But in Jesus' eye, this is what He sees. He said, "The weak you have not strengthened." He's talking to every one of us, God's children. They are among us who is the weak. I was the weak. I was strengthened by a fellow friend who is a Christian. The sick you have not healed. When a person that is sick, when a person didn't get a good grade, do you help him or do you mock him? When a coworker who doesn't perform well in a corporation, do you laugh at him or you do your best to help this employee? The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The injured you have not bound up so that they don't have further injury. The strayed, the one who is about to leave the church, you have not brought back. The lost, you have not sought. That is our condition. But in Jesus, we are all lost sheep. We are that one little sheep, so lonely, try to fight for life. But for this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. If we don't do it, who will do it? Jesus, our Lord, will do it. When he said, I myself, in the original language, he said, I, Jesus Christ, came down to earth to search the lost sheep. Do you know? I think most of you know, in the Luke chapter 15, talking about Jesus' heart. A lost sheep, 99 sheep, right? A lost coin, a lost son. He definitely knew we were lost. On the night of Passover, he set up the New Testament, the New Covenant. He said, this cup that is poured out for you is the New Covenant in my blood, in his blood. He paid the price. Do you know, in this covenant, right before this covenant, Judas already decided to betray Jesus. Do you know, after this cup, after this covenant, all his disciples were arguing who is the greatest. Do you know his beloved disciple, the most trustworthy disciple, Peter, is going to deny him three times. Who has the ultimate loneliness? It is Jesus. In this condition, he said, this is the cup that is poured out for you, my children. And this is the new covenant in my blood. He said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Do you know when God said, my people who are called upon my name, do you feel his heart? He tried to bring you home. God is seeking us. When you say, oh, I'm here to seek God, the reality is God is seeking us. He wanted you to be found. He wanted you to be found. My people who are called by my name, you represent the royal family. We can understand that God wanted to open his arms and every one of us return home. Now, the largest Reformed church in Jakarta, in Indonesia, you know, it's under a Muslim territory. It's a very difficult church. Now, it's the largest church because it has 6,500 seats. But one of the founding principles of this church is no one can go to hell. No one can go to hell. Because heaven already opened up and bring down to us. When we say, for men there are four things, for God there are three things. Four plus three equals seven. What does seven mean? Completion. Jesus Christ is the holy temple. You can come to God. The heaven and earth, they overlap. the overlap place is Jesus Christ, and his blood absorbed all the obstacle for you to meet God. So no one can go to hell in the holy temple of God. You need to commit your life to Jesus. Do you know the meaning of Christian? I know the meaning of Christian. The meaning of Christian is God gave his name to us. C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. Your identity is Christ's children. God gave his name to you. When we say we Christians, this and that, have you thought about that? Have you considered that God gave his name, his precious name to us? So the new year, what is our resolution? Just like the calling from the Chronicles, let us go up and let the Lord be with us. We lift up our head because we are from royal family, but our heart is the most humble heart. When King David, he received the covenant, the Ark of Covenant, he danced right in front of the Ark. Oh, his wife said, oh, you are a king. How can you do this? Are you kind of expose yourself or something? King David said, no, I'm going to humble myself more. It's not about your pride. It's about your connection. It's about God's salvation, his redeeming love in your life. So every one of us, we need to stand up. We need to go up to God. And humbly, we confess our sins, our inequities to God. That is taking to action. Let us go up now. So that everybody stand, and we have the worship team to the front. God. So let's pray together. Almighty God, our Father, we have sinned against you and grieved your Spirit. In spite of your continued goodness, we have turned from you, followed the device of our own hearts, and transgressed your law. We acknowledge that apart from your grace to us in Jesus, and the righteousness you imputed us by faith in his name, that we deserve your justice and wrath. We humbly ask this night, and that you will pardon our sin and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let us bow down our hand, bow down our head, close the eyes. Think about our life, our past, our hidden secrets, our dark secrets. Now is the time to turn Jesus. We should turn our eyes upon Jesus. Let us respond.
There's light for a look at your Savior, in life more abandoned and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting.
passed and we follow him there. Oh, as they no more have domineered, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look for strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
In the presence of Jesus, I ask every one of us close our eyes. We open our eyes in our heart. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Heavenly Father, in your light of glory and grace, we humbly ask you to forgive our sins. The sins in front of you that set us away from you. Lord, today I gave all our sins to your cross. May your blood cover every one of us. Let everyone go up and see your face and search you and seek your presence in our life. Lord, I'm here to turn away from my wicked ways. Lord, cleanse our heart so that I can be your royal descendant. We give thanks to you in the powerful and precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated.